Get your footy fix live and ad-free with the ABC Listen app. Whatever footy you're after, we've got you covered. Called by ABC Sports expert commentary team. ABC Sports coverage of the footy on the ABC Listen app.
Well, it's just gone 8 minutes past 10 here on 702 ABC Radio Sydney Mornings. Well, the Middle East is a key corridor for international flights linking Europe, Asia and Africa. Several airline giants, including Emirates, Qatar and Etihad, call the region home. But as the Israel and Iran continue to carry out strikes against each other, what does it mean for travel through and around the Middle East? James Nixon is an aviation industry analyst and a former A380 Airbus captain. A very good morning to you, James. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, Kath.
Look, can you just set the scene? You've flown around the Middle East numerous times. What's it like?
Yeah, I was based there for 10 years. So it's all pretty much invisible to the actual pilots. It's all done by the airline's operations management and security people in conjunction with the regulator, ICAO. Now, ICAO is like the United Nations arm of aviation, so that everyone flies to the same rules because there's no country boundaries when you're up in the sky. So we have one set of rules and it's run by ICAO. And they're monitoring everything all the time. And they're the ones who work with the security departments of the airlines and tell them whether or not they can fly over certain areas.
You say no country boundaries when planes are in the sky. Isn't there certain airspace that's owned by certain countries?
There is, but Australia's country boundary starts at Mali and the Maldives and way over near the Seychelles. So the areas on the map on the ground don't relate to what's in the sky.
Interesting.
It does in certain areas, but there's a little bit of the top of Iraq that is close to Syria. We use that little tiny corner and we take that off Syria. So it's all a little bit different.
Right.
Pretty much the same, but everything has to be coordinated. And of course, the motivation is money, because the countries make their money from overflight rights by the airlines. So you make about $2,500 for every Australian, every United States plane or overseas plane flying over Australia on a flat fee. Other countries charge by the 100 nautical miles, all based on the weight of the aircraft.
Fascinating.
So it's a good money spinner for all of them. And people like Iraq and Iran, they want the money.
Okay. I'll ask you about that business model, if you like, in a moment. But before that, how do conflicts affect where airlines will fly over?
It's very important that we know what we're getting into before we land there. So I used to fly into Iraq, and before, every time you go into Iraq, before top of descent, you check with security, and they've got people on the ground at the airport. They're monitoring everything to see if you can get in and out for about 2 hours safely. I did the second last flight into Damascus, into Syria, and already there was smoke in the city from the bombs and the fighting. The day after me, some rockets were fired up in the air, and the airline decided that was it, and we've never been back.
How frightening was that for you as a pilot?
It's pretty nerve-wracking, especially in places like Iraq and having to do covert approaches so that you don't want people on the ground to know you're coming, so you go in with your lights off, things like that. It's a bit different to normal sort of operations. But, of course, when you're operating a daily service into these countries, you've got to get there.
Mm. I'm going to take a call from Svetlana in Oatley, James. Svetlana, good morning to you. You've got two daughters flying to Europe on Sunday, I believe.
Yes, that's right. I'm very anxious. And I tried to look up some flight paths, but I just couldn't find any information. They're flying into Qatar.
And then on just as a stopover?
Yes, and onto Europe, yeah.
Okay, so James, you would have heard this. Svetlana's two daughters are onto Europe, stopping over in Qatar. Is there any justification for her feeling anxious given what is happening in the Middle East?
No, Svetlana, I want you to stop worrying right now. That's the job of these people who are working in the security departments of the airlines, and they're updating every minute of the day. So what's going to happen in your case, and you can check this out right now by going to Plane Finder or Flight Radar 24 apps on your phone, and you can have a look at the planes flying around the world right now, and you can see the airspaces that are closed of Iran and Iraq right now. But what will happen is, instead of going up over Iraq and then into Turkey, into Europe, you'll probably be routed from Qatar across Saudi Arabia, over the Red Sea, over Cairo in Egypt, and up over the Mediterranean. So that'll just, they just switch them, and they switch them within hours. We've seen before, when the first time the bombs started flying from Iran, that the planes were turned back at the border of the airspace, and they stopped flying within minutes over the conflict areas.
Svetlana, does that give you some confidence?
Yeah, I think I'll have to look it up first to see. I just, well, how did the accident over, I think it was Ukraine, happen years ago then? Was flight, you know, when the Russians bombed the airplane?
Yes, we've learned a lot about that, and those airspaces were open to be used. There was five areas of airspace over Ukraine in those days, and two of them were closed, three of them were open. I know Emirates was flying into there that day over that airspace, which was open, and next thing you know, rockets went up and the horrible disaster happened.
Mm. We're talking
so
about
that, there's been lots of changes.
Malaysian Air Flight MH17 there over eastern Ukraine back in July 2014. Svetlana, I hope that that has given you some comfort. James Nixon is a retired A380 captain, so he has some experience in this field. I hope your daughters have a wonderful trip and a safe trip.
Thank you.
That was Svetlana there. I mean, understandably, people who perhaps don't have the appreciation and the understanding of how the airspaces work are understandably nervous about what we're seeing going on in the Middle East at the moment. What do you think, James, is the biggest risk for commercial airlines flying around areas of conflict? Is it the landing in those areas, or is it flying over it?
Oh, certainly the landings, if you're flying into those countries, because you're getting down low where these military operations exist. When you're flying over the top at 10 kilometres and more above the earth, that's much, much higher than these weapons are travelling. So in many cases, the planes are being flying over at 35,000 feet, and most of the stuff happens below 20,000 feet. So I think the scary part is when it kicks off. Within an hour of it kicking off, air traffic control has got everyone out the way.
Mm. So do pilots have any say in where the planes are flying?
They do. They can ring the flight operations, flight planning people before the flight goes and ask to be rerouted if they're not happy with a piece of tracking. That happens to do with severe weather, for example. If there's turbulence forecast, sometimes the captains will ring up flight planning and ask them to make a new flight plan going around the weather, which costs more money and fuel, but the pilot's got the last decision. When they get to the boundary, if there's something in front of them that they're not happy, and they get to the airspace boundary and something's kicked off, which they think is happening right now and the airline doesn't know about it, sure, they will divert. They're not stupid.
Yeah. And so how do you, I mean, this is crystal ball gazing sort of stuff. If you were still flying A380s in and around the conflict zone that we're seeing between Iran and Israel at the moment, how do you foresee this impacting on flight paths and rerouting, et cetera?
Well, straight away, they've turned off the airspace. So no longer do we fly over Iran and Iraq going up into Europe. Both those airspaces have been closed completely. And so for that reason, you just reroute the long way around Saudi and over Egypt and up into Europe that way over the Mediterranean. So it's stressful. I mean, it's always stressful. But you don't have to worry because you're not flying over the areas. The airspaces are closed.
And just finally, James, how long since you've been flying? What do you miss most about it?
I miss takeoff and landings. They're the best bit. But I really love sleeping at night time in my own bed, Cass.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, a lot of hotel rooms, right?
Yeah, years and years of hotel rooms.
A lot of hotel
walking
rooms.
Into the wrong bathroom, opening, yeah. opening the wardrobe door like 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Well, look, really great to get your thoughts on what is going on in international airspace at the moment. And I'm sure that our listeners were interested to get your thoughts on that. James Nixon, thank you.
My pleasure.
And that's James Nixon there. He's an aviation industry analyst and former A380 Airbus captain.
Now we're talking Sydney.
This is Mornings with Catherine Robinson on 702 ABC Radio Sydney.